Good evening, friends. We thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is working in him and through him. That, Lord, you're giving him your words, you're inspiring him by your Holy Spirit. And may each and every one of us receive, Lord, and not just for the hour, but just receive into our hearts all that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to bring now. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we just thank you that Graham is speaking your word this morning. We just pray you'll give him your boldness to speak the words that you would want him to speak and for us to hear, Lord God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that this morning. That's exactly what I was going to pray to start with as well. So yesterday, while I was sitting quietly, I prepared a lovely talk. And this morning, it feels like, you know, when you get a jigsaw puzzle and you put it in the box and shake it. So all the pieces are there, but I'm not sure which order they're going to come out in. But I can start with the corner pieces because I know what they are. Last year, when I put my name down to speak, I felt that I should speak on New Year's resolutions, and I think I mentioned it last time I spoke. But I'm not sure that's what he wants to say this morning. So the scripture I had was Matthew 5, where Jesus teaches us not to make oaths or vows. And he says, simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And that's where I wanted to start, because resolutions... We make resolutions. How many people have made a resolution and kept it for the whole year? Exactly. Well, no, I don't anymore. But how many people have said yes to something and maintained that yes? Good. Yay. And it's important, I mean, if you make a resolution and you break it, there's an element of condemnation that comes in because you've broken your word, your promise. When you say yes, do you still get that same element of condemnation coming in if at some point in the future that yes becomes a no? I think we should. Because the Lord was, it's not so much about the resolution, it's more about the way of life. You make a resolution and you can break it. But if you really want to change your way of life, I think it's what he wants to get at. He wants us to live the life that he wants us to live, which is what we said yes to. And we said yes again this morning, and we'll continue to say yes to do it. But if we slip up, as we were hearing this morning, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation. We can come to him and say, I'm sorry, we've got this wrong. And he puts us back on the right path. And our yes can become a yes again. And I think what he wanted me to talk on this morning was not so much resolutions and whether we can keep them, but the whole idea of, and the word has just completely disappeared from my head, integrity. Live in a life of integrity, which is very different. And I, when you think of integrity, I don't know if you do the same, but I think integrity means you say something, you do it. But that's not what integrity means. Integrity is being honest and living up to high moral standard. Not just doing what you say you're going to do, but it's living the way you talk, living what you talk about. We can stand at the front and we can preach, we can read our Bible, we can say all the nice things, we can sing all the nice songs. Do we live the life that he's called us to live? And I think this year, I think he's calling us all to raise our standards a little. There's no condemnation in this word, by the way. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. That's not where I'm coming from at all. But what's in my heart is for us to be seen as a people of integrity by the people out there. I don't want them to look at church and think it's a group of people who always want money, or it's a group of people who want to convert me, which we do, but it's a people of integrity, a people we can trust. And that's what I'm going to be working on this year, is relationships with people out there in a way that they can trust us. And it's that life of integrity, and really it's living the life that Jesus lived. And it comes back again to, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So when I come to do something, I need to ask myself, would Jesus do this? In every area of life, would Jesus do this? You know, I'm sure Jesus wouldn't do the washing up, so I'm okay there.
But
I'm happy to serve. I just don't like washing up afterwards. But seriously, there's lots of things we do. And if we really asked ourselves, would Jesus do this? What would the answer be? It's not always comfortable. But that brings us back to that life of integrity, doesn't it? You know, when you're on the motorway doing 70 miles an hour, it's a life of integrity. I'm not going to go into the 20 mile an hour thing, because that's just evil. But what would Jesus do? You know, we used to have those little armbands, didn't we, a few years back? What would Jesus do? And it's really helpful sometimes. Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus buy this? Would Jesus watch this? Would Jesus read this? Would Jesus have said that to that person? Would he have walked past? And how often do we do that? It's a rhetorical question, don't answer. And I just felt he wants to call us all this year to just raise the bar a little bit. And it may not be comfortable, and we may think, well, that's not easy because I'm like this. But we've already sung this morning that you're not like that anymore. So there's no excuses. And actually, he came to give us life and life abundant. And he said, my burden is light and easy. We can do it. You know, Jesus is God, always has been, always will be. But when he came to earth, he chose to live like a man. And I believe he chose to give that power he had as God. How do you say this? He didn't use the power he could have as God to walk the life that he walked. He relied on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So he lived as a man, not as God, even though he could have done. So he chose to live like us. Which means that if he could do it, I can do it. You see, if he'd come as God, I could say, well, that's great. You know, I worship you. Thank you, God. But it's your God. I can't do that. But he chose to live as a man. Which means he never had Microsoft in his day, did he? It means that whatever Jesus did, I can do. Not least of all because I no longer live, but Christ that lives in me. But he did everything. He didn't do anything of himself. He only did what he heard the Father tell him to do, what he saw the Father do. And he did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Which means that every one of us who's spirit-filled today can do that he did, and greater things. So not only can you walk on water, but you can jump up and down on water and dance on it. You know, greater things. We can do it. And We shouldn't see it as difficult, because that's what he intended us, the way he intended us to live. So I want to encourage you all this year to live the way that Jesus lived. Again, no condemnation. If you're already there, then, you know, I'm not. but I'm not there yet. But we can be there. We can live the way he lived and the impact he had on the world in his 3 years of ministry. How many years have we been Christians? What impact have we had? I was watching The Weakest Link over Christmas. I wasn't well, so I was watching what was on the television. And it's like they had a chance to win £30,000 and they'd put £4,000 in the bank or something. And that's how I feel my life's like. You know, I had a chance to do all the things Jesus set in front of me, and so far I've only done this little bit. But the potential is there for us to do the maximum, 100%. And it comes down to listening, just as Jesus did, listening to what the Holy Spirit said and doing it when he tells us to do it. And that really isn't difficult. Sometimes we think it's impossible. But if we just do what he tells us to do, no more and no less, and just walk the way he walked, one step at a time, doing what he tells us to do, living that life of integrity. Jesus, would you do this? That's all we have to do, and he will do the rest. We don't have to immediately change our lives so that we look like Jesus, walk like Jesus, do all the things he did. All we have to do is listen to what he's saying to each of us and do what he tells us to do. And before we know it, we'll have changed. I mean, I can look back when I came to Whitney and what I am now. I have changed a lot. And it's not because I've worked hard at it. In fact, I've tried to run away from most of it, you know. But if we listen to what he tells us to do and we're willing to do it, then he can change us in the process. You know, it's 12 years now I've been leading the church. And the first time I stood here, I was like a quivering wreck. Dry mouth, couldn't speak, didn't want to be here. And now I'm standing here with no notes. Just a jigsaw puzzle that's been shaken in a box. He can change us. And he wants to change us because he knows the way he made us. Which is, the way he made us is here. And the way he wants us to be is the way he made us, which is here. And we're in the middle here somewhere where we've lost some of what he made us. But we're working back towards it. And he's changing us into what he wants us to be, the original mold, like that we came out of. He's changing us back into who he wants us to be. And when we become that person, when we all become those people, then his bride is ready. And he'll come back. It's quite, you don't have to, you almost don't have to worry about going to bed with Jesus coming back tonight, because you know you're not ready yet. But seriously, if we just listen, that's all we have to do, is listen and ask him for the boldness to do what he's telling us to do. It was when I was in America with Tamsin, we were on a road trip and we stopped at a McDonald's for a drink. Actually, we needed coffee and Wi-Fi. McDonald's is great for free Wi-Fi. And we stopped there and we went in. Some of you may have heard me say this before. It was absolutely packed with, put this politely, little old ladies. They were probably younger than I am now. Sorry. But the door was here and the drinks machine was over there. And in America, when you get a coffee in McDonald's, you go to the counter and you pay and they give you a cup and it's empty. And you have to go to the drinks machine and fill it up yourself. But it's because you can have unlimited refills. Once you've got the cup, you can fill it up as many times as you like. But so we went and paid and we got the cup, but there was all these little old ladies between us and the drinks machine, and they were filling the tables and the aisles and things. And first thought was, oh, really? But there was one lady just caught my eye. She was in the middle of the aisle and she was sort of hobbling like this, very slowly, a bit like the Mr. Bean when he's going upstairs behind. She was going very slowly. And I thought, I can either push past or I can go outside in the rain and walk around, come in the other door. And then I thought, why not offer to pray for her? I'm sure it wasn't my thought that came. But I went up to her. It's also very easy when you're not in your own hometown where nobody knows you. I found it much easier to evangelize and step out. And I said to this little lady, is your leg hurting? Can I offer to pray for you? And she said, oh, yes, please. In the middle of McDonald's, this was. She said, we're just on our way to a Joyce Meyer conference. I thought, oh, no pressure then. But it was just that little, the thought came to me, instead of pushing past and moving by to get my coffee, just stop and ask to pray. And she said yes, and I prayed for her. Nothing happened immediately, but it was just a lovely moment, you know, and I got past while I was praying. You started praying here. And I was But then we were on our car journey afterwards. I said to Tamsin, would we have done that in McDonald's in Whitney or in Abingdon? Would we have done that? The answer should be yes, shouldn't it? Because if we get the prompting, we should do it. And I've got so many more stories where God's just said something really ridiculous. And I thought, really? But when you step out and do it, you see why. It's like when you get a word of knowledge, it doesn't make any sense to you at all. But you give it and somebody responds and floods of tears or laughter and joy. And because God knows them, then he knows what they need. He knows what we need. But he also knows what they need. And he wants to touch other people through us. And a big part of that life of integrity is being, you know, living the life we talk about. We can sing, I'm not guilty anymore. He loves me. You know, when I don't belong, you say I am yours. We can talk all these words. We can read the Bible and we can read the Gospels and we can believe them. But until we start living it out regularly on a day to day, then we haven't really got that life of integrity. We're believing one thing, but we're living another. We need to just be, I think the word is obedient, really. When we hear his voice, we need to be obedient quickly. Have you ever had that moment where you felt something, I should do that, and you don't do it, and then somebody else comes along and does it? Or you might have a word. Ever had a word, Suzanne, in the meeting and not given it, and then somebody else has given it? It's encouraging, but then I think, I've missed it. I missed it. God gave me that word. I should have given it. Because he's going to do what he wants to do. When, you know, he just gives us a chance to cooperate with him. And if all of us cooperate with him all the time, I mean, look what he did with 12 disciples. Sure. Suzanne, you're speaking to him. You can share a word.
Seeing as you just said that.
Speak it into this because it's recorded.
Sorry to interrupt, but on New Year's Day, I was privileged to be at the coast, and it was supposed to be a nice sunrise, but it wasn't actually, because there was this thick band of cloud just above the horizon, and it went all the way along. But then gradually the sun came up, and then the sun started to look like a pair of wings in sort of bright light. And then there was a trail from an aeroplane, and it went high above the cloud, and it went along, and it was glowing light. And I just felt like God was saying, set the bar higher. But it's like above the cloud, and you kind of need the wings of the Holy Spirit to get there. But it was like way above the cloud, and God's saying, that's where you need to be. So I couldn't help but share.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That's great.
the wonderful thing is the bar is not too high for us to attain. It's too high for us to attain on our own. But guess what? No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And he can jump higher than me. He can reach higher than me. I can't even do a pull-up. I'm too heavy. But he can. And if we allow him, he'll pull us up to that bar. This year, I think we need to set the bar a little higher. Just uncomfortably high. And then next year, we'll be looking down on it, thinking, where do we set the bar this year? You with me? You still believe? What I'd like us to do is to all pray for each other, that we carry on holding this belief. We have ears to hear, and he gives us the boldness to do what he tells us to do. And I think that's best in small groups, if you're up for that. Just, if you have prophetic words, just remember that they're always encouraging. Feel free to give them. If they're not encouraging, check them out with somebody else first. But if they're encouraging, just feel free to give them. But just pray a blessing on as many people as you can. What do we have? 10 minutes? So at 25 past, we'll stop praying and blessing each other. But just see how many people you can bless in 10 minutes. And then just pray that we, this year will be a year when we have more integrity in our lives and we reach that bar that he's setting for us. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You may.
Hello. I've got a feeling that even though we've only been here as a family for about 4 weeks, I'm going to be repeating myself. But it's from Mark chapter 11, if anyone wants to look. But I think the key to this one, at least for me when I read it, is the word heart and doubt. And it's the title that is invented for this section is The Lessons from the Withered Fig Tree. I'll go down a little bit. It says Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And it's probably good to add this, because Jesus did add this. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So for me, at least, that might, the work that I sense that I need the Holy Spirit to do in me and to focus on is, what does it mean when it says, do not doubt in your heart? Because I can't put my finger on that, but I know it's often always there. So that's what I that's a prayer request, actually, I suppose.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.